You're listening to Boards and Swords, episode number 26, Magic 2015 Core Set Special Episode. That's right, everyone. This is Chris Renshaw, and I'm here with another exciting episode of Boards and Swords. This is the podcast where I talk about the world of tabletop gaming and my experiences in it. And as I mentioned before, this episode, it hasn't been too long since we've spoke, but this episode is our huge Magic 2015 discussion. It's a little late. Yeah, I know. But if you listen to the last episode, you understand why. Just to talk, this is going to be completely Magic. So if Magic is not your bag, I will not think of any less of you if you skip to the next episode. We'll see you then. But if you've been waiting for some Magic talk, I decided I'd bottle it all up into one episode and we'd talk about it all. So let's get right into it. I'm going to play this just for fun.
Magic the Gathering. All you need to play is a brain, a deck, and a friend.
All right, what kind of cards are we building in this deck? This is 2015 core set. This is the Magic core set. Comes out once a year. This is supposed to be to get beginning players into Magic. This is also supposed to help bring back some mechanics to kind of put back into the standard format. But what have we got? We got 269 new cards that are available as booster packs, fat packs, intro packs, and a brand new clash pack, which is replacing for this set the event decks. So instead of an event deck, the clash pack is $30. It has two 60-card decks. And then you can use those and play against each other, or the deck has instructions on how to take pieces from each part of the deck and make it into one better deck, which some have said are on the level of an event deck. So instead of an event deck, you're getting this. I'm not going to tell you any of the dates because by the time you're hearing this, it's already been out. 2015 is out. You can go buy it now. This is just for the few people. If you haven't done it now, some of the returning features. Big feature this time is Convoke, which was a thing back from Ravnica City of Guilds. It is an ability that allows you to tap creatures to use them as a colorless mana or a mana of their color, which is really handy when you want to play powerful spells and you've got a lot of creatures down, and then you can tap them to convoke them, and then it makes your powerful creatures a lot cheaper to cost. By the way, I just got to say, I'm going to talk about this later, but Convoke is awesome in Limited. I've been playing a lot of draft, and Convoke is so awesome to have in Limited. So, some of the other things. We don't have gods this time because we're out of Theros, sort of. We've moved past Theros. So what do we get? We don't have god cards this time, but we do have souls. And so one of the big themes on this set is there's a different soul for each color, and it corresponds to a plane of Magic. So for white, you have the soul of Theros, which is vigilance. It can give other creatures first strike and lifelink. We have the soul of Ravnica, which is blue and flying, which allows you to draw cards for each color permanence. You have the soul of Innistrad, which is black. Death Touch allows you to return target creatures from your graveyard into your hand. And then the soul of Chandelar, which is red, first strike. Deals damage to target player and damage up to a creature that player controls. And then lastly, the soul of Zendikar, which is green. It's got reach, allows you to put beast creatures onto the battlefield. And each one of these has a thing where if it's in your graveyard, you can exile it and you can do the exact same ability pretty much. Yeah, the exact same ability again. So even after it's gone, you got one more turn you can do stuff in. So really cool stuff. Then you've also got some rares. You got some rares that kind of go into a lot of the popular people in Magic. I don't know all of them. I've just heard them mentioned before. So you've got Avacyn, Guardian Angel. I know she's from the Innistrad block. You got Jalira, Master Polymorphous for blue. Avacyn was for white. Black, you got Omnixilis, Unshackled. Red, Kurish, Onaki, Ancient. And green, you have Yisin, the Wandering Bard. And these are just some flavorful rares thrown in, some legendary creatures based on some of those planes that we mentioned before. But you don't care about that. You don't care about those. You're like, hey, man, I know what's really all about the core sets. Planeswalkers. Planeswalkers galore in the core set. So tell me, what's going down the Planeswalker? And pretty much, if you care that much about Planeswalker, you probably already know. But in case you don't, let's go into it. We got white. We got Ajani. We got blue. We got Jace. We got Liliana for black. We got Chandra is red. And blue or green is Nissa Worldwaker. So for Ajani, he gives +1/+1. And first strike for +1, his ultimate is you gain an emblem. If a source would deal damage to you or planeswalker you control, you prevent all but one of that damage. Jace's ultimate ability allows you to shuffle your hand and your graveyard into your library, and then you can draw a brand new hand. So it's basically like starting over. Liliana, her ultimate, you put all creature cards from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control. Chandra's, Chandra Pyromancer card is the returning one from last time, which that is exile. The ultimate is exile the top 10 cards of your library. Choose an instant or sorcery, exile this way, and copy it 3 times. You may cast the copies without paying their mana cost. And then lastly, but certainly not least, Nissa Worldwaker. Her ultimate is search your library for any number of basic land cards, put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. These lands become 4/4 elemental creatures with trample. They are still lands. By the way, before we move off of Nissa, one of her her plus one ability is target land you control becomes a 4/4 elemental creature with trample. It's still land. And +1, untap up to 4 target forests. I got to say, she's kind of a beast. Chloe loves this card. She's got one. She managed to pull one from the booster box we bought. She's got it in her deck. It's a nice green deck with some artifacts and stuff. She loves it. She's been playing a lot of standard. She loves bringing it out, and she loves turning her lands into creatures. Specifically, there's a one from, I don't remember off the top of my head, but there is a land that is indestructible. So she makes that into a creature, and now you've got an indestructible creature. But that's it. Oh, wait, what am I forgetting? That is, I'm forgetting the big nasty of this group, Garruk, the Apex Predator. 5 black and a green. This is the kind of flavor for this text. Everything's kind of all about this card. And that is, Garruk has been tainted by the Cursed Veil, and now he's out to get some Planeswalker. And it's not a card to be taken lightly. First plus one ability, destroy another target Planeswalker right off the bat. You know he's out for some blood. Second +1 plus a 3/3 black beast creature token with death touch on the battlefield. -3 to store target creature. You gain life equal to its toughness. And -8, target opponent gets an emblem. If whenever a creature attacks you, it gets +5/+5 and gains trample until end of turn. This guy is terrible. And I mean terrible in the fact that if this guy comes out in front of you, you know things about to get ugly, especially if you have any planeswalkers yourself. So that's some of the big cards for this set. I forgot one soul. We also had Soul of New Phyrexia, which is an artifact creature and trample. Permanence gain indestructible till end of turn. One more of those. So that is all the cards. If you want to see all the cards, make sure you head over to mythicspoiler.com and click on the M15 section. You can see all the bits that are in there. So I've had a chance to mess around with these cards a whole lot. First of which was I got a review copy, thanks to Wizards, for Duels of the Planeswalkers 2015, the game that is out. I got it on the iPad. I've been playing it on iPad, but this game is available for Steam. It is available for iOS, and it is available for Android as well, including Kindle Fire. So if you've ever been curious about Magic, you're going to want to get in on this. It's a free app, free for you to download, and you can try. You can play through some of the intro stuff. It's a very good way, if you're ever curious about how to play Magic, it's a very good way of learning how to play Magic. And then if you want a little bit more, you want a Magic experience on some of your mobile devices, this is a perfect get-up for it. So, but a lot of these cards are in there. It's not everything because it's a very small subset. No Planeswalkers, for example. So, what do I think of the game? I think this, I have a lot of good things, a couple of bad things about it. First thing I like about this game is it gets away with the big, huge, confined decks of the previous sets, where you pick a deck and you're pretty much stuck with the limited card set that that deck provides, and then you're done with that. In this game, way they do it differently, because in the past you would pick a deck and you get a new deck whenever you defeat a planeswalker, or you know another a boss. Basically, you would get a card deck, and you could play with their deck instead if you didn't want to play yours. But if you play with the same one, you'd unlock more and more cards. Whatever. I always found that really dull. I never really modified my decks too much. But in this game, the way the game starts out, you pick a color, you pick a secondary color. It auto generates you a deck. And then you can either earn cards like you did before through playing, or you can buy booster packs that have cards. You can unlock whole series of cards, making things available to you. And then you can go in and rip the entire deck completely to shreds. And any of the cards for those two colors that you picked, you can build a deck that you feel is a lot more suitable. That's exactly what I did. As soon as I had got past the first level to where you unlock all your cards, I destroyed that deck and made myself a nice custom deck. I really like the way it goes together. I think it's really awesome. I've been doing very well with it, and it makes me feel good about construction how far I've come in constructing decks. But the only downside is you're limited to those two colors. So that's one strike I'll give you. Now, granted, I have not fully beat the game, so I don't know if I fully get through the campaign. If it unlocks other colors, which that would be awesome, but I don't know. So there's that. I find the experience really great. I will say that the UI is the UI of when you're in a Magic fight is great. I love it. It's a little bit more streamlined, in my opinion, than some of the other apps they've had. However, the menu system that they have in this game is terrible. That's one thing I will say about it. Whoever designed the UI for the menus is awful. There's so much you click this and then fog rolls through, and it's supposed to be thematic, but it just ends up irritating you most of the time. So that's my biggest problem, my biggest complaint with 2015 is the transitions and this kind of like fog that rolls through. Like you try and click a thing and the fog rolls through and takes a second. But see, if you don't have a perfect getup, then you end up getting hung up on some of those transitions, and it's just extra graphics power and extra visual stuff that was just not necessary. And it's a point where a lot of people who don't have the top of the line devices will get stuff bogged down and they'll get disappointed. It's just useless and it's not necessary. It detracts from the whole system. So I will also say that the system that they use for unlocking things, very confusing, because the first thing you do, you go in there, you click unlock all, and it goes $30 or $40, and you're like, what? That is ridiculous. And you're like, I am not paying $40 for everything. Then you realize that's for everything. Like, it's serious. Normally, you go in there, and you think of unlock everything. Okay, I'm unlocking all the story mode. No, that's not true. It's different. It's only $10, just like it's always been, to unlock the story mode. And then you can buy sets of cards. You can buy a Theros set, an Innistrad set, Ravnica, et cetera, for different amounts. I think it's like $3, $4 a piece. So it is a little bit of nickel and diming, but I like it in the sense that it's good because this helps boost that deck building that there is before. And there is the thrill of the booster pack, where you can get cards that you can't get anywhere, you can't get through buying just the whole sets. So that's kind of cool. So I like that. I just think the way that they organize the store is a little bit confusing. It's a little too confusing for someone who doesn't know what they're looking for, or someone trying to jump in. They're going to hit the first button and see $40, and then they'll be like, close, delete. But you got to stick in there and look through and read through the options, and you'll be able to find what you're looking for. That's all I got to say really about 2015, but I wanted to throw it in here since we're talking about Magic. So thanks to Wizards for letting me review that. And now let's jump into me playing. Now, unfortunately, I didn't take as well enough notes as I thought I had for the pre-release, but I did pull up some stuff, or I did start something new a couple weeks back when I started playing limiteds and drafts. Sorry. When I started playing draft, I did start doing something, and that is hashtagging. I started hashtagging my games with hashtag OCD Magic. So then now I could quickly go back and pull them up. And I'm going to do that right now. All right. So apparently my Twitter app or Twitter in general only saves hashtags for a certain limited time. So I won't be able to get everything. So I'll just have to go off of my stupid memory and realize for the future that I'm going to need to write this down a little bit better. But the pre-release. So the pre-release was great. I love sealed formats. I believe I went 2-2. I ended off doing fairly well. I think I got like two packs. Chloe did all right. I think she won one game and managed to get a pack of her own. We were loving it. Love the atmosphere. But I've been playing a lot of limited recently because I got into the game day. We had the 2015 game day and we played standard, and the shop decided they wanted to do a 6-round draft or 6-round game day standard. And that was just so much standard for me. I was kind of blown out by the end of the day. So I started off really, really lucky. Managed to hit someone just fine. Won my first game. Got into a second one. Lost pretty badly. Then I got into a round of two where I just got really lucky and played two other burn decks. Keep in mind, I was playing a burn deck. So I managed to hit two other burn decks and managed to hit them just right and get through two wins. Got creamed again on another round. And then finally for the last round, I managed to pull off a win really quickly and get another win in where I thought, you know, I thought I wasn't going to get it. I was playing a pretty tough opponent. I thought he had me a couple different times, but I managed to top deck some cards right when I needed them. And then on the last game, we both ended up mulliganing down to pretty low numbers. And I got just super lucky. That last game was pretty tough because I didn't get any of the big packs on my burn deck. But I just got burn spell after burn spell. Normally, I play off of Gutter Snipe and Young Pyromancer. That's what my deck's all about. But I didn't have any of that. None of that. No Purphoros. No nothing. Just burn spell after burn. So I was just like, whatever. He's low on cards. This isn't going to last long. And I was just burn after burn after burn. And just burn him down. Finally able to play a couple of Young Pyromancer and Gutter Snipe. And just finally started to get an engine going by the end. And so by the time he got set up, it was too late. And so that was awesome, redeeming. I came out 3-3, didn't win anything, didn't really go anywhere in the game day, but I felt redeemed because it was like I walked out of there, you know, 50% above everybody else, and it was awesome. But after that, I was like, I'm kind of done with draft for a while, or with standard. I need to play some draft. I need to play some draft badly. So I've played 2 or 3 drafts since then, and I've done fairly well. There was one game or one round I won completely. I went 3-0 undefeated through the entire night. It was amazing. I felt so awesome. I did not know what to expect because it was one of those decks where you just build it and like, I don't feel like I'm pulling any that great a card, but then you just happen to do one like, wow, these things are working really well together. And, you know, I had a couple of great cards like Child of Night. That lifelink is just amazing. And then just a couple other things. And just worked together, and I managed to pull out 3-0. Of course, then again, the next week I go back, and I managed to go... I managed to lose the first two games and get a bye. And so I was like, all right, I am done. We're out. So that I kind of saw that happen. Anytime I do really well, and then this may be my own head against me, turn right around and get my butt handed to me the next week. But last time I went, I managed to do pretty well. I lost the first round, but I got fairly decent on the next couple of rounds, and I managed to go 2-1, got third place for my pod, which I thought was awesome. And it just really showed that I was able to put the deck together just right the way I wanted to. So if you look at the past three times, the way it happened was I managed to get together a deck just fine. And then the second round, I managed to draft a deck that I thought would be just fine, but the strategy I drafted ended up not working out did not play the way I thought it would. So that's what hurt me on that second week. And then third week was very much like the first, where I was picking cards. I had an idea for my deck. I made sure to try and explore all my options. Like, I think I ended up going white-green on the last draft I played, which is way outside my color familiarity, if you've been listening to the show at all. So, and I know, and I'm starting to see how I'm evolving. I've always been like, man, I've been playing this game forever, but I've just not been getting, it feels like I'm just not getting any better at it. But over the past couple weeks, and even by losing, I was able to see kind of like, yeah, I am getting better. It's a very slow process, but I'm seeing like my thought patterns when picking cards is a lot different. You know, when I open up that first pack, I'm not immediately going to the back and just pulling out whatever the rare is, no matter what. I'm looking through. There's a couple times I've passed up rares and even uncommons. I've gone after a common because I'm like, I need you very badly, more so than it's some just junk rare or you know, just some uncommon that looks somewhat decent. It's like, I need you. And that's what makes me know that, okay, I'm really thinking about the cards in here, because I'm not just immediately jumping to some of the rare cards. I'm looking through. I'm looking at each card. I'm evaluating which card is going to be the best and help me out. So that's awesome. It's just a very relieving feeling. I got to thank the guys over at the at MTGU, the Magic Podcast, MTGU. I think it's the MTGU. YOU.com. I've been listening to their show just about every week for the past 6-7 months, and I can definitely say it has upped my game tremendously. So shout out over to those guys. Make sure you go check out their podcast if you want to up your game as well. So I'm really excited. This makes me feel really good for the next sets coming out. We got Khans of Tarkir coming soon, and I can't wait to put some of these things to the test. It's coming up super fast. I'm sure I'll get in another, maybe one or two more 2015 drafts before then. But in the meantime, I lost my train of thought. So basically, we got Khans of Tarkir coming up at the end of September. But in the meantime, I will probably have one or two more drafts, and I will tell you about them here, right here on this show. But that is all I have today. Before I close out, I just want to remind you guys that this podcast is a part of the Dice Tower Network. Make sure you go check out some of the great shows and the footage that they have from Gen Con over at DiceTowerNetwork.com. But thank you guys for listening to this show. It's an Obsessive Comics Sorted production. Make sure you go visit my main site, OCDcast.com, for other great videos and podcasts, such as the main OCD podcast, where we talk about comics and all the geeky things we obsess over, and then we rip it to pieces and make fun of it to heck and back. If you want to contribute to the show, make sure you send me an email with what are you playing to feedback@boardsandswords.com. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm @ChrisTheProf, or on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/obsessivecomicsdisorder. If you want to find out and see visually all the stuff that I'm playing, make sure you also check out my Instagram, Chris the Professor. So that's it. You guys are fully caught up now on everything I have been up to as far as gaming. We will have another regular episode here soon where we'll talk. We'll be back on scat. That's really weird. Back on track with our regularly scheduled episodes. You'll be seeing that, or you'll be hearing that really soon. But thanks you guys for watching. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for listening to this episode, as well as last week's episode. And in the meantime, go out and play some games. Enjoy your Labor Day. I will see you guys later.